VE Day. What's that mean? Victory in Europe. How many of you were around when they celebrated victory in Europe? Well, after World War II? Anybody? Come on, guys. Dave Ryder? Sandy? Jim? This was, to say the least, a very huge celebration, VE Day, Victory in Europe. And when I say big, I mean this was very big. Huge. I'd like to pray, please. Let's pray together. Lord, we remember our own men from this congregation deployed, and we think especially of Brandon. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for his love for technology and his love to serve this country. And we pray your blessing upon him. I pray that you'll keep him safe, that you'll give him divine presence, your divine presence and wisdom to guide him in matters of decisions that he must make. And I really pray that you'll keep him from the evil one. And other men from our church, think of Ben Wilson, and ask you to be with him too today. Now, Father, I just somehow can only pray that, again, as this message is focused on the sacrifice and the victory that's won through the sacrifice, as we apply it to our hearts, I pray your Holy Spirit to fill us and use us and to fill this room with the knowledge of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Junior church, any kids from junior church still in here? Junior church. You're wondering, when am I getting out of this place? Children's church. This was an exciting day, VE Day. Memorial Day, though, started back after the Civil War. I don't know how many of you know the story, and I don't know that I know it that well. I read it, and my brain doesn't remember it. But it was just a couple years, maybe 1 or 2 years after the Civil War ended, that ladies went to the graveyards of the fallen Civil War soldiers. And back then, there wasn't a whole lot of love for the South. And so they only put flowers on the soldiers who had died of the North. But that, according to history or tradition, I don't know about history, there came a wind and some of the flowers blew over on the side of the South. And the next year, they began to honor all the fallen in the Civil War. And that's where Memorial Day or Decoration Day, that's why we go to the graveyards and decorate the graves of our loved ones who have passed on. But the Civil War, I don't know how many of you, I don't know a whole lot about the Civil War. I'm not a Civil War buff. I found that cannon. That's a pretty big cannon for that back in those days, wasn't it? Did you know that the Battle of Gettysburg, 3 days, July 1st through the 3rd in 1863. Look at the staggering totals. Between 46,000 and 51,000 soldiers died. Now think about that. So many couldn't keep track and count them all. This is a painting of Pickett's Charge, and it was a devastating. I think there were 10,000 Confederate soldiers that died in this charge. Rather foolish mistake, but it was a last attempt. By the way, the Confederates were winning at Gettysburg. Did you know that? They were winning, but they made some mistakes, and the North got the high ground, and that tells you the story. But I want you to think about this. It was the most costly battle ever in U.S. history. The most costly battle ever. How many Americans died in the invasion of Normandy, you think? The day of D-Day, American historian, author John Keegan, believes between 2,500 Americans died and 3,000 British and Canadian troops died in that campaign. Now, during the war, nearly 425,000 Allied and German troops were killed, wounded, or missing. Now, war is, to me, a horrible thing. It's sometimes a necessary evil, though. There is times of just war. But I'm not here to necessarily preach about or teach about the justice of war. My purpose is to focus that these men at Gettysburg, they fought and died for freedom. The interesting thing of the truth is, both the North and the South were fighting for freedom. You ever think about that? The North was fighting to free the slaves, Emancipation Proclamation, free the African American slaves from slavery. We were fighting for that. And then the South was fighting to do what? To keep their rights, to own slaves. So the Civil War was about fighting for freedom, actually. But now, I ask you this question. Was there a right, R-I-G-H-T? And the answer to me is yes, there was a right. And I think the North held the right ground, the moral ground of righteousness, what I call righteousness. There is a righteous war. That's what I'm trying to say here. In World War I, the battle, again, they fought, died by the tens of thousands for France. In World War II, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, sneak attack. And of course, we went to war with Japan and defeated the Japanese. The Japanese surrendered. And there was also a VJ Day. I couldn't find a picture. I saw the Japanese surrender, but I couldn't see a headlines, VJ Day. But there was a VJ Day to recognize and celebrate the victory over Japan. Both of these battles, or both of these enemies, were in World War II. Now, this invasion of Normandy, this is, of course, President Eisenhower. I don't know if I'm giving you guys a history lesson, some of you young kids. There's importance of history. History is very important. I love history, and it's very important. But Eisenhower said he was a general of the Allied forces of D-Day. The eyes of this of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. Now, D-Day, 24 hours that saved the world, D-Day. The invasion of Normandy. Now, of course, for those of you who don't know why we went to war against Germany, I read this. I don't know how many of you remember the 50th anniversary of D-Day. What a documentary. I wrote some things down. Realize the bravery, the discipline of obedience required in being a soldier. Realize you may pay the ultimate price of giving up your own physical life in death for the defeat of Hitler, the Nazi philosophy, the Aryan race superiority, anti-Semitism, and world dominion. That's what the Germans wanted to do, annihilate anyone that wasn't white and annihilate the Jews and take all control of Europe. Think of this cause and the great sacrifice of hundreds of thousands of men and women that they made. In that 50th anniversary, men relived the battle, especially the shores of Omaha Beach. And Germans, were well entrenched. In this Omaha Beach, they had high ground. They had the mountains, the hills, and they had lots of soldiers and guns and were located in those hills. And America came on that beach and suffered great losses. I have so much I could say. The stories that were told. One of them was this one guy during the invasion. He put on this very colorful bow tie. And everybody was laughing because, you know, he kind of stood out amongst all those soldiers, this guy with his big bow tie. And one of the soldiers, when they were coming on the beach, they got behind a barrier there. And he looked back, he said, and with tears beginning to stream down his eyes, he said, "I noticed the man with the tie with his leg blown off and half his face missing." Another lieutenant wrote home to his daughter and said, "Sweetheart, please take care of Mommy. Daddy's going into battle, and he may not live." And this other soldier who's telling this story, he's writing his daughter, his little daughter. And he did give his life that day, rushing the beaches of Omaha and machine gunned down. The stories of sacrifice, the stories of heroism. I mentioned Merle, Mr. Albright. He was a true war hero, served in a tank division. One of the things that he did is one of the guys was in his tank, became very sick, and he had to see a doctor. It was very cold inside this tank in the winter. And so he carried this man, got him out of the tank, carried him. How far was it? A mile? Pardon me? A little over a mile, carried him to the medics. And when he got there, the doctor said, "You're going to have to stop." His feet were frozen. But he wanted to go back. He stayed a while and then went back to war. He was drafted, but he could have gotten out of his position of going to Europe because he had one leg shorter than the other. But he begged them not to let him get out of it because it was possible that somebody who was a father with children might have to go. And he would rather go himself, being a single man, than have somebody else go for him. The sacrifice of this man, and I'm saying, what I'm trying to get to us is to understand our freedom that this country enjoys is a high price of everyday people just like you who have laid down their life. And you need to appreciate, I need to appreciate, we all need to appreciate these soldiers. I used to take my daughters down to the service downtown on Memorial Day down at the Legion. It's very moving. Very, very moving. But my only point I'm trying to get at here, and I've got a lot of things here. I put that slide. This was a parade that welcomed the veterans after World War II. They had a big parade. I mentioned VE Day. They had a ticker tape parade in New York City, and it was huge. It was big. You can see there. And all these people celebrating the victory that our Allied forces, had won in World War II. Hitler was killed, and they were celebrating that he was dead. War ends. War was over. War was over. That was a big day. The victory was won. Look at those people celebrating everywhere. Peace. Peace. had come to the United States and Europe. As Hitler, Nazism, and the Aryan philosophy was defeated. It was a big day. I thought I'd throw that one in. That famous picture of a soldier just walked up to a strange girl and gave her a kiss. Then you had Vietnam. Vietnam was a horrible war. I think it was more a psychological as well as a deadly war. The Gulf War. This was the ticker tape parade that was in New York City when the Gulf veterans came home. It was a happy day, wasn't it? That, more in our time. Remember this guy, General Schwarzkopf, the guy who was a great general. Now, I want you to try to transition you into realization that there is a spiritual war. There is a spiritual war, and the war is for you. The war is for each of us. There is a spiritual war, and I want you to know this. It largely takes place right here in the mind. Satan is fierce, he's furious. And there's a raging battle in the realm of the spirit between the forces of God and the forces of Satan. And it's real, believe me, it's real. And it's all around you. You see it in drug addiction. You see it in the broken homes. You see it in so many children, so many youth. You see it in the darkest places of child trafficking. Horrible things that go on in this world. Satan is the god of this age, Jesus said. He says the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one, Satan. Satan's target is your mind. His weapon is to lie to you. He wants to lie to you. He wants to tell you you don't need to make any commitment. Oh, you can do it next week. He wants to lie to you. He wants to do everything he can to distract your thinking away from serving him and doing what his will is. He's a liar from the beginning, Jesus said. He's a murderer from the beginning. And he wants to make you ignorant of God's will. And, of course, your defense is the inspired word of God. That is your defense. I think of David all the time. When he asked this question, is there not a cause? When he saw Goliath out there, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell you Israeli bums. Send me a man that he'll fight against me. And all the soldiers of the Israeli army went and hid. Every time Goliath would come out and give his fee, fi, fo, fum speech, they would hightail it back behind the barrier, afraid of him. David heard him one day, and he looks around and he says, isn't there a cause here? Isn't the name of Jehovah? Isn't there not a cause in this? And what did he do? He went and fought Goliath, and he won the war. He won the battle. You see, we must fight the invisible forces of evil with prayer and faith in God's word. And what was David's armor? The word of God. He said, he's defying God's armies and God's name. And he says, there's a cause here. And he went out and through faith beat Goliath. Now, I want you to turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. And I want you to see the spiritual battle that Jesus was having in Psalm 22. In verse 11, at the spiritual battle as Jesus described it. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. You ever fear, ever think trouble is near to you too? And there is none to help, he says. There is none to help. He was alone when he was on the cross. He was all alone when he was on that cross. Even the Father, for the very first time through all eternity, even the Father had turned his back when he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he was all alone, and the forces of hell were against him. Verse 12, for many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a raving and roaring lion. Look at the physical anger, the physical anguish. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. Christ was so physically emaciated, he had lost all physical and emotional strength to do any kind of resisting. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, dry as a bone, as they say. My tongue sticks to my jaws. His tongue, you know, you ever get your tongue sticking to your mouth because you're so parched? Christ on the cross was hanging there. And you know what he saw? Demons. Bulls of Bashan, ravenous lions. I think he saw demonic forces surrounding him. I think he saw the spiritual world here. And the physical anguish. My tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Verse 21, save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of wild bulls or oxen. I was wanting to ask Joe, how, or Pete's down there, can a bull ever be mean? Are they mean? Can they kill you? Jesus is describing the spiritual environment around him. Lions. You ever see a lion, what they do to a flesh of the carcass of an animal? Rip it to shreds. A bull gouging with their horns. And here is Christ on the cross. And I'm saying to you that the battle of the ages was going on there on the cross. There was a battle far greater than Normandy. It was a battle that would save your soul. It was the battle for your eternal life. And Christ was fighting that battle, and he was alone there on the cross. He was all alone, left alone to die. He faced demonic tauntings, torture, the physical suffering. But then they put him in the tomb. I'm sorry. Remember when Jesus cried with a loud voice, it is finished. And he didn't just say it like that. He said it with every ounce that he had in his being. and I won't shout it this morning as I have in the past. It is finished! And he gave up the ghost. His spirit left his body. I did do that, didn't I? It was VS Day. Victory over Satan. The beginning step. The resurrection would be the next step of victory over Satan for all time and all history. Jesus said these words, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world, that is Satan, be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." You see, Christ, when he died on the cross, in Genesis it was prophesied, God told Eve and Adam and Satan, "I will put enmity between you," speaking to Satan, "and the woman, and between your seed and her, your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your heel, but he will crush your head." He will bruise your head. And on the cross, when Christ died, he paid for the sins of all the human race. But it's only efficient for those who believe in Jesus Christ. So you have to trust in what Christ did for you on that cross. You have to personally trust. Not because you go to church and assume. Not because your parents are Christians. You have to trust in Jesus Christ. And he will crush and defeat Satan in and for your life. You're forgiven at the cross. Have you accepted that forgiveness? Honestly, have you accepted the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ? And they overcame him, that is, the believers, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. You know how we overcome Satan? We overcome him by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the power. That's the power that you need. That's the power. Jesus' blood is what defeated Satan. Jesus' blood is what washes your sins away. Jesus' blood. And there's nothing else that can wash your sins away. Nothing. Not one thing. There's nothing that can wash your sins away but the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why he had to come, the Son of God, the eternal Word of God person, had to come and take flesh. You know, shortly after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, Christians suffered much persecution. Christians, again, by the thousands, were led into arenas just like this and fed to the lions. People just like you. Do you understand what I'm saying here? People just like you who believed in Jesus Christ were hated, despised, and killed because they believed. We're so fortunate. Are we? Think about it. Would we be willing to do that for our faith in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to do that? To say, "I believe in Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I know he is the only begotten Son of God, and I know he is my way to heaven. And I know that he is my life. He is my love. He is my highest desire as my Savior." And they willingly went to die. Not willingly. They were burned as human torches in Nero's garden. But Jesus said this, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Satan will never win the battle. Christ will prevail. I want to get to this end because the celebration of World War II is when the war ended. Are you understanding the victory that you have in Christ? Do you understand that the things you face I don't know what battles you face today. I don't know what prayers you have that are you want to see miracles happen. Now my question is, does Jesus Christ have the power to hear your prayers? Does Jesus Christ have the victory to hear your prayers? You say, of course. Now, Jesus Christ is the Lord and his doom is sure, right? We know that. Is his doom not sure? Is the battle fought and over? And the answer to that is yes and no. But one day, Jesus Christ will come in Revelation chapter 19. He'll come. Let's just read that to refresh our memories quickly. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened. This is a prophecy of future events. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges. Look at that. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems or crowns. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. That is Jesus Christ the Lord. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which he will strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now let's go to verse 19 of the same chapter. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. The rest of the dead were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. Chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. So he's coming down. He has keys in one hand and a great chain in the other. And he sees the dragon, Satan, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the end is coming. And of course, he'll be loosed and on we could go. But my point is, in all this, the sacrifice that these our soldiers have made to buy us the freedom we enjoy, I want you to know Jesus Christ has done that for you spiritually. And he has broken the chains. And he loves you, and he wants to change your life. It is VS Day. When Christ cried, "It is finished," the battle was won. And I wanted to sing that song, but I couldn't find the song with the lyrics. Singing the song with the lyrics. The battle is over, and Jesus is the victor. Victory over Satan. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I want to close with this thought taken from Ephesians. Dave Grazier's teaching through Ephesians in our Sunday school class. But it says this: I pray that God might open the eyes of your understanding, that you would see the exceeding greatness of his power, which is given to us
in Jesus Christ.
Do you know the power? Do you have any idea the power of God? What's your need? God has so much power. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you. I mean, it's in you. When you go to prayer, do you use that power? Do you use that faith that David had when he slayed Goliath? Do you use that faith to see the power of God, that there's no Goliath bigger than God? We don't have time to sing the hymn because I want to let you get out of here and I want to go over to our party. Voice of truth. Oh, to have the faith that killed giants. Let's pray together. I hope no one will miss the salvation emphasis in this message this morning. That just as those men laid down their life for the freedom of this country, the only begotten Son of God laid down his life on the cross and died for your sins, that you could be forgiven, that you could have a new life of love and truth and a life of purpose and meaning, that God knows you and loves you in Christ. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, today is a great day to say, Lord, I accept your single death on that cross. I believe you died on that cross, and you did die for my sins. And I believe you bodily rose from the dead. And that power, that salvation, that forgiveness, I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life today, right now, and live and save me from my life of sin. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you have VS Day, Victory Over Satan. The power of Christ can be yours and is yours. And we want to tell you and talk to you about that decision. So if you'd be kind enough to write your name on one of the papers in front of you and fill it out and write it in there, and we'll get a hold of you and your phone number, how I can reach you. And we'll get a hold of you immediately. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this Memorial Day. Thank you for our country. And may your blessing of grace, may your blessing of Jesus Christ fall upon this nation, that many would be turning to you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, all across this land, that there would come a revival, that there would come an eye-opening, a chain-breaking power through faith in you, Christ. Oh, I pray for your honor and glory in this United States. In Jesus, your name I pray. Amen. Thank you.